Succession number 27057, Reel 7.
This is the fourth reel of a taped interview with Bill Osborne in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 26th of the 4th, 2004, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Bill, you were talking about the experience of having to hand over your rifle. Did you have any equipment following that?
What we did, after handing over our rifle, myself and another driver, I can't remember his name now, we went from Suda Bay, we went to Retamon, or Restamon, which you call it, and we went to the eastern end of the airport, I think. Anyway, roughly, see, between Retamo is between Heraklion and Suva Bay, if you like to call it, and that in the, right down on the sea front, nearly. You could see the sea and everything. You could very nearly, I think, see Greece from where we were. We were up on a hill, and what had happened, we, after losing my rifle, not losing, oh, that's wrong, after being relieved of my arms, we went to Retamol, and in on the back of trucks, when we got there, we were armed with, now some have said they were French 75 millimetres, and some people said that they were American 75 millimetres. I don't know which was which, but anyway, there were 75 millimetre, and we had a act had come through from off Greece, and he brought his rangefinder with him. And so he took rangers down on the village or around the airfield, and we pasted those on the shield. I think they were about, the village was about 1400 millimetres from, that's right, yeah, kilometre, yeah. And then when he landed, we saw him first thing in the morning, going over, and they were towing gliders, and those we found out later on had landed at Bellamy, and of course it was the gliders were all crash landed. I don't know how many men they lost. They must have lost quite a few. That was in the morning. I think about midday, I'm not really certain about this. The next thing we know, these Junkers planes come over us, and the next minute down comes the paratroopers. So,
I wanted to talk about the preparation. Evidently, you would be on the island for a while prior to the paratroopers coming.
Yes.
What did the preparation involve? Getting ready for something you were looking
to my mind or to my knowledge, we were disbanded or debanded or disbanded and sent to different places, whereas we had one troop And we had two troops from the 2nd, 3rd Regiment. One was Don Troop. I think the other, I don't know that what the number of the other one was now. And we were Don Troop. We were one end of the island, of the airdrome, and the other troop was down the other end of the airdrome. All supposed to be under cover. We were sitting out in a vineyard, and virtually no cover at all.
Well, how was morale at this point?
Well, we all seemed to be happy. Well, I won't say happy, but well, yes, we weren't worried a little bit. We saw the planes in the morning, and we thought, oh, well, they're going to Melamy, and we won't be touched or anything. And, of course, the next thing was the junkers came over us, and out come the door, open come the doors, and down they came. Yeah, they came, the Germans.
Up until this point, you've been a driver. Yeah. What were your duties?
I was on the gun.
And what did that include?
I was firing the gun, but not then, because I was down in the rest area. We had a rest area, and I'd done my stint, and I was on the rest. But getting back to the guns, for a minute, they were French 75s, we think. We had all the ammunition was so blessed old. A couple of them didn't fire, but that's not anymore there. When they came, the Germans came, they came out, came down. You must remember that my troop was on the top of a hill overlooking the village and the airdrome. And we had three guns facing the village and one gun facing the airdrome. When the parachutes landed, I wasn't there. I could see them coming down, and I could see the baggers fire, and I was in a slit trench, and I can't remember who it was, had a machine gun, the old type with the magazine on the top, and this bloke was firing away, and she jammed, so he stood up to bring the magazine down. Next minute he was dead alongside me. And
when you first saw the paratroopers drop, what thought went through your mind?
Thought went through my mind is, how the hell am I going to do anything for this? I've got no rifle, no jack, no bungalow. And when this fellow, he only stood up and dropped back dead with a bullet straight through the bloody head, I did the only thing that anybody would do. I ran. And
you mentioned earlier on having chaps fall, having comrades killed, but this presumably was the first experience you had of such a thing at such close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
How did that affect you at the time?
Frightened hell out of me. I think anybody that said they weren't frightened was about higher.
When you saw the paratroopers, had you ever seen anything like that before?
No.
How would you describe it, seeing such a thing?
Well, it's a fantastic site, really. And particularly as you know, the buggers have got guns and you haven't got one. See, I mean, I could have.
People describe it as a sort of almost a war between two worlds.
Well, they were coming down, as they were coming down, some of them were swinging. They had a machine, a little machine rifle. It wasn't much chop, because every time you went to fire it, because we got a lot of stuff, the bloody thing jammed. That was a magazine about that long.
About 8 inches.
It was a coil spring in it. And every now and again, one slug needs to come crossways. So it means you've got to take it out, get through to the bullet, and get it all back again.
Had you been given any kind of indication of what you should do if you were overwhelmed?
No, I hadn't until I can't tell you how I got it. I think it was George Kelly was their captain. He mentioned, I think it was Sparkia. That was
Sparkia, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was it. We were to go over the mountains if we could. So off I went with another boat. Got the order to give in, I was off like, and the Germans came through from Heraklion, and they came through on motorbikes and things like that. And of course, I ran into one of them right away. So I was taken. I went.
Had you thought at all about surrender?
I tell you how it happened. I was on the telephone.
Warning of a surrender, yes.
Yeah, and the phone went, and I picked it up, and the voice just said, "Is Kelly there?" And so I called out the junior Kelly. I said, "You want to join on the phone?" And he picked it up. He said, "Kelly here?" "Yes, sir." "No, sir." "Yes, sir." Put the phone around him, called the boys all together. So I yelled out for the more to come there. And he said then and there, he said, "Right. And destroy or throw away or get rid of everything German that you've got in your pockets and your hands." Because what we did, a lot of the Germans, can they come, had a little tiny biscuit that side of my thumbnail, and it was I can't think what it had seeds on the top of it. And of course, any Jerry that we got, we didn't have any food, so we took it off him. And he said, "Right, anything German." I had a Luger, I'd got it off a dead German. And he called, George said, "Right, if anything German that you've got, get rid of it, destroy the guns, in other words, take the breech out and throw them away as far as you can, or bury them or anything." And we said, "What the hell for?" He said, "Have a look." So we looked over Retamone, and there was a hill coming down, and all the roads, and a lot of them were then, limestone, and they're white. But this road wasn't white this day, it was bloody black. with tanks and trucks and that sort of thing. And we said, what's going on? He said, you've got to give in, or we've got to give in. And that was the order that I received. And because of that blacks coming down that hill, that's all Germans.
How did that feel to know that you were being ordered to surrender?
I don't know, but I have no idea really. I don't.
When you heard that you had been ordered to surrender, how did you feel?
Well, I knew that this place bar here was on. I'd been told it before. I don't know where I got it from, but I started to go. Right, as soon as I got rid of everything German I had, and we took out the breech block and destroyed it. And then I said to George, I said, I'm off. He said, right. And when I got about 300 yards, I think, I ran into two Germans on a motorbike.
So between the time the Germans had landed and the time that you were ordered to surrender at the end of May, what was that period like? You mentioned that you had a Luger. You mentioned that you'd managed to take German rations off soldiers.
Yeah, well,
how would you describe that interim period?
Well, we had them wiped out, really. That's not complete. I think we had a couple of, us or the 11th Battalion, or it's all of us combined. I think we had a couple of hundred prisoners. I don't know, because we were right as far as I was concerned, except one day we had a what do you call it when you have a peace between
a truce.
We had a truce there because there was quite a lot of wounded out in the front of us, and the German had a lot of wounds. And anyway, this bloody plane landed, a spotter plane landed just down from us, and I said, that bus is going to bring shell or something for it. I said, why don't we shoot the bus? Anyway, we didn't, because we'd had this truce. Anyway, when after the truce was over, George said, oh, well, let's give them a couple of rounds, just to make certain they know we're still here. And I think every gun fired a couple of rounds, every three that were looking over the village. And the next minute, Christ, we got bloody mortars. And they were bloody well, no doubt about it, they were bloody well exploding them above the shield of the gun. Anyway, we were told to get out and get back to a rest area, sort of thing. And I think I said to George, you bloody officers and your bloody truce. I said, I told you what they were going to do. They're going to get bloody. They've got bloody mortar shells in there. I said, and we're going to cop hell there. And he said, quiet.
In relation to that period, obviously, bitter fighting ensued on the landing.
Yeah.
How would you describe that?
I was in the rest area.
Had you been involved with close quarter fighting?
No. It's not normal. And I'm in several other blokes. We decided we'd better get out of it when they're coming down.
How had your rations been up until the Germans had gone?
Not very well. Mainly the people that were supplying us were the Greeks. I've found it out now, but it was a man, he was then a boy, he and his parents and his grandmother and grandfather, and everything, they were supplying us with quite a lot of stuff that we could get, milk and all that, and his name was Polyodarchus.
They ran a risk of death if they'd been caught helping.
Well, I'll just briefly. I went back to Crete, and when I got there, I was supposed to have a car pick me up, and it never turned up, and so I finished up in Heraklion, and these people that were going to bring the car to me didn't bring it. And I got into town and found out who was going to deliver the car, and it was nearly 1 o'clock. So got over there, found out where they were, and then got into them, and I said, where's the...
They went back to Crete in 1975.
Yeah, and I was supposed to have a car,
yeah,
but it didn't turn up. I went up to the reception, and I told them who it was, and they went and called this... and he said, started through with the interpreter, have you been on Crete before? I said, yes. He said, when? I said, 1941. Where were you? I said, up bloody there, if you want to know. I said, up on top of that hill. And sorry. Right. I said, up there if you want to know. He said, what unit, well, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, he said, and what was your captain's name? I said, well, if it's any interest to you, I said, it was George Kelly. Oh, a man coming out of the street. And then I found out. And I asked him the silliest and stupidest question I could do. And he said, you've been here before. I said, my bloody oath. I said, I was here in 1941, up there on the guns. Yeah. He said, I forget what he said. Anyway, I said to him, I wonder if you could find the boy that kept coming over to us and bringing milk and eggs, and the gentleman. And he said, I'm the little boy. I said, good Lord. I said, what about your mother and your father? He said, an all stupid question to ask, I know, gentlemen. He said, well, they were executed by the Germans for helping you. And that was, Anyway, the second little Evans brought him out here. So he, and his name is Polyodorus. But that's...
How, at the time, how did the locals see the situation, do you think? Here they are.
I don't know what they seem to be quite okay to us, but see, when if we went to Crete and you went to Retamont and you said, and you said you're from Western Australia and better still from Perth, you could have the anything you like. See, the second 11th was West Australian, and we're all West Australian, our two troops were. And that was it. The second 11th brought him out, yeah.
How did you cope with the idea that now you were in the thick of things? You mentioned all of these wounded lying in front. This was a real war situation for you. How did it feel for you at the time? Did you ever think that you were in danger?
Well, well, it was once, but... It didn't mean, I think, anything. Well, it did, because I reckon I broke when I didn't... told Killy what I thought of all bloody officers and he just said and shut it up. Osmond, shut up.
Okay. You were talking about having to surrender. You were talking about the situation in relation to the Germans obviously coming down the road.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time when you were fearful of your life on Crete?
I don't know whether
in relation to making a break for it, trying to get to Sparkia, what was it like then to have a German capture you? Describe the moment if you can.
Well, they come along on a motorbike and the two Germans just pointed a gun at me, and that was it. And I didn't. Of course, it was whilst we'd given in, because the commander of the area, I forget his name now, he walked across the airfield to. A tank, I think it was a tank that was there, and then he came back and told us all to give in and everything.
Well, there was obviously Freyberg, as I mentioned earlier, and Colonel Ian Campbell. Did you know either of those?
No, they went up with us.